The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
NAWC has been paid for by the New World Order.
On the night of the 20th anniversary of Hulk Hogan selling out to the man, to himself, of course, and changing the landscape and igniting a bitter part of the Monday Night Wars. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, we will start with the Kevin Nash of that crew who gave us this wonderful opening, Chris Waters.
Now I just have to wonder, am I okay to step out from this dilapidated boat that I'm behind here?
Sit still. We don't have the bottle rockets yet.
Okay.
However, we can check on the legality of our fireworks through Jason Block.
Yeah, and I'm making sure that the fireworks are not pre-recorded footage. I see you, PBS.
And somebody who was there to witness it all. Ladies and gentlemen, after a long hiatus, I finally dragged his ass back onto my show, DJ Peckins.
Happy to be here, everybody, and sorry I haven't been on in a while. I was too busy beating up John Cena.
Brilliant.
Oh, excuse me. That is what we call in the biz an awesome segue. Yes.
In fact, I think I will start there, even though I really wanted to start with the food fight. But the club has memed hard.
God, it's hard. And it is actually legitimately trended on Twitter. Yes.
Hashtag John Cena, to which Cena has replied that you can beat me up all you want, I'm still going to get up. So, yeah, the usual answer, that spoiler. But I tell you what, I still think it's funny as hell. It's with the best delivery out of those three.
It's good to get that going for them because they haven't. AJ's done his things in the ring, and that's fine. And he's now, and Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows have been around, and they've been doing their thing. Now they're getting the personality to better fit into the WWE mold instead of just being very good ring workers.
So, DJ, you were there in person. How was that enthusiasm about beating up John Cena going over?
You know, it was sort of a... Not your diehard crowd like a Philly or a New York or a Chicago. It was more of a kiddies and parents crowd. But I could still see a lot of the adult males getting a good kick out of the segment. From my vantage point, I think the Bullet Club, old habits die hard. The club looked really relaxed. AJ especially looked really relaxed. Looked like he was really in his element. probably for the first time since I've seen him in WWE. Maybe this is just from the perspective of being there live and able to kind of watch him during the breaks. He looked really loose and looked like he wasn't, you know, looked like he belonged almost. And it was really, really cool to see.
It's a wonderful build to what is going to be a six-man tag for Battleground, where Cena has the backup of one of the most popular tag teams is currently on Raw, Enzo and Big Cass.
Couple of haters.
Yeah, and you can't teach that.
No.
But you can put a couple of people around Cena to make sure he gets cheered.
Yeah.
I really think that's what happened here. What do you think, Chris?
That could be, but I it probably is the reason, but I just have to get a chuckle about it because way back in the day in the early days of NXT and specifically Enzo's NXT run, shortly before or shortly after he got injured and was out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
On NXT, for a segment just for the crowd, they had a mini debate going on between Damian Sandow and Enzo Amore. And Enzo called Damian Sandow soft. And John Cena said, "You hear that? He called you soft?" So it's kind of a fun little connection there.
Huh. I'd like to see that. If you can find me that.
I looked earlier. I couldn't find the whole
thing. Enzo posted a picture on his Twitter feed.
Uh-oh.
Not Twitter feed. Instagram? Yeah. He posted of that incident. And he credited his second grade teacher for being able to recite all the 40-odd presidents, how you doing, in order.
Now he's eligible for a Mr. Bob Backlund autograph.
Yes, he is.
I was going to say, I think that was probably one of the stipulations to get Backlund back. Speaking of him, we are finally getting somewhere with the Make Darren Young Great Again, as Darren Young has been gifted the Crossface Chicken Wing.
And that's good, because that move needs to come back more often.
Now, can we get Darren in the ring, please?
I'm hoping maybe with Titus's loss to Rusev that his old primetime players partner steps in and assumes that mantle.
That makes, you know what? That makes perfect sense. Wow.
But first there might be a little bit of a stopgap as of SmackDown.
That's true. We had a demand to face Rusev.
A crazy bastard.
Nothing wrong with being crazy.
I know, but you don't expect it that much from Oh, wait, he has to hang around with Mojo Rawley. Never mind.
Yeah, well.
Okay, just think about that for a minute, okay? I'm not a fan of Mojo Rawley, but I can't discredit his enthusiasm. I guess that's what it is. Either that or it's cocaine. I can't tell.
Oh, gee! Caffeine, not cocaine? Well, oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was trying to be clean, but all right, fine.
Hey, well, they had plenty left over because they had plenty for when Hogan was there, and then he had to get fired. So,
woo. Okay, that escalated very quickly. But for the most part, DJ, Raw Monday Night was a pretty light show for you guys. Although you got a pretty strong match out of Ziggler and Rollins.
Yeah, the in-ring action itself was pretty good.
What'd you think? Actually, thoughts on the epic food fight?
You know what? It got a lot of chuckles out of the crowd. I think everybody was in the holiday spirit. A lot of people were probably coming from barbecues and cookouts, as I was. I was at home with my family, so traveled 2.5 hours back to Columbus. Mm-hmm. A little early for the show. It was kind of a festive mood. I think everybody enjoyed it. And one thing about, you know, I'm not a big fan of the holiday shows. Mm-hmm. WWE tends to put it on cruise control and sort of coast into the next week, knowing it's going to be a low viewership week.
Right.
So I probably would have not have watched this show if it was on TV, or probably would have flipped around, or, you know, maybe just would have watched but wouldn't have been as interested. But being there with the live crowd, the segments, the the opening food fight segment I got a big kick out of, just because I probably didn't expect much. The main event I got a kick out of, and then the vignettes leading up to it with Captain Big Show and with the international stable, the multinational alliance. I think they were a big hit with the crowd, definitely.
Now there was this epic thing, Nikki, that we talked about. Corey Graves, God bless him.
Corey Graves is a blessing to WWE commentary on top of...
Uh-oh.
Well, that sucks.
Well, we lost... I'll try to get him back in.
Okay.
But we'll keep talking.
Yeah. Corey Graves, again, is a gift to the WWE. Even if he can't wrestle anymore, just keep the microphone in his hands.
Yes.
There we go.
Well, I'm going to keep trying.
Okay. But yeah, Corey Graves, I found the video. Corey Graves does a Madden-esque analysis of the food fight.
Yes.
Covering specific items, specific implements, positions of where people were, who started what, and then the
great ketchup using techniques by Summer Rae, apparently.
So we go through this wonderful analysis, and we're expecting Corey Graves to reveal to us who hit Kevin Owens in the face with a pie.
Hashtag pie Owens pie.
Yes!
Damn it, Corey! So this is the big mystery. So, you know, analyzing what I could of it through Corey Graves' eyes, there's only a couple of people I could eliminate immediately. Heath Slater, because he was unconscious and sprawled across a table, and Sami Zayn, because he would have stayed to beat up Owens some more.
Right. They actually had a follow-up video to that in a way. They were asking various superstars who did it. First, they asked Breezango, and they were trying to lie and say they weren't even at the thing, and despite video evidence.
They were the ones who started it.
Yeah. They're the ones that put chocolate sauce on Mrs. White's suit. Thank you, guys.
Don't do that. I was drinking.
Sorry.
They asked Sammy, and he said, why would I want to do that right there? And he just denied it. And they asked Cesaro, and Cesaro said, yeah, I know who did it. Are you going to tell us? No.
Nope.
Damn it.
I'll tell you what. He might be our prime suspect, because him and Apollo Crews really didn't get involved in this food fight. They were still arm wrestling.
Right. Yeah, Apollo mentioned that. He said, you know, I'm too much of a competitor. I was too focused on the arm wrestling. I didn't want to lose that.
I'd like to know is if the pie was made fresh on site in Columbus, or if it was shipped in from a Mexican orphanage where perhaps a generic man happened to be spending all of his time.
I was waiting for somebody to drop the word generic during the Zayn on SmackDown, and it didn't come up. I'm just waiting.
There is one more thing about that video I was going to mention.
Okay.
What Renee interviewed Owens about, he said, I don't know, WWE apparently has some great technology. They can see right through my eyes when the pie came to my face.
Meta Owens meta.
And there was also one where Devon Bubba said, Devon, get the kielbasa. Thank you very much. Okay.
That's what Titus was swinging around, and that just has all sorts of negative implications.
Negative to who? negative to whom? But yeah, I mean, this was just incredible doofus that I was laughing at from moment to moment. It was fun. I mean, there was so much doofus. I mean, DJ, when the Social Outcast came as the Spirit of 76, that was fun.
Yes, absolutely it was. I made sure to get plenty of pictures.
That was just messed up. I mean, but again, this is what you said earlier, DJ, about the fact that, you know, they put it into cruise control. These guys had just flown back from Japan, so they're all punchy.
Absolutely.
And so that that almost makes for a better show.
Not only that, they went from Hawaii to Japan to Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, good God! Damn. Okay.
And then to Toledo. I mean, I love Columbus.
Wait.
I live here.
And wait, they did have the Hawaii tour. That explains who threw the pie. It was Nakamura for what happened in Hawaii.
Oh, that would be.
Ooh. What a way to call him up. I would accept that. I would accept that. Because I could see Owens, you know, they finally interview Owens, and he just stops mid-sentence. You! The hell are you doing up here? You're an NXT guy! And the camera just pans over, and Nakamura is doing one of his signature poses. And he smiles and pies Owens again.
Yes. Oh, speaking of doofus and live crowd. Oh, Nikki.
Yes?
We got somebody back that I was so glad to see back for one night only.
The Big Show?
No, this was the former SmackDown general manager, Vicky Guerrero.
I think I called that.
Yeah, you did.
And in a wonderful piece of continuity, as she's getting dragged out of the building, she's brought past Ziggler.
What are you talking about, continuity? He never saw her in his life.
I think the funniest part about that, too, is I think after they walked away, Ziggler resumed his phone call. He said, yeah, Mom, I lost again, but I tried really hard.
I lost it. Oh, my God. I lost that. I cracked up. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. So bad. So wrong. But so funny.
Unfortunately true.
Yes.
I don't think a lot of people caught it. But the live crowd, at least. But I was howling as well, Jason. So.
Oh. Because we know he's just riding his contract right now. Sadly.
Pretty much. They're not gonna do too much else with him. And you know, the man's been there for 10 years. Excuse me, 11. Because
why did he only start introducing himself in 2008?
Because he needed an alias so they wouldn't recognize him from the cheerleading squad or as a cat.
Fair point.
And that's how long paperwork takes. Anyway. So, but yeah, I mean, he started in 2005 as, what was Chavo's?
Nick Nemeth with Kerwin
White. Kerwin White,
thank you. As Nick Nemeth as the caddy to Kerwin White, and then he was the Nikki of the Spirit Squad, who could scream like a girl and sold like nobody's business. That's one of the things that has not changed over the course of his career.
Yeah, you know you're a good seller when you get hit with a megaphone like that, and you can just fly all over the place by Shawn Michaels.
So. We had a little bit of that. Actually, there was another piece of continuity, and I don't know. I'm not sure how this went over with the crowd, but during the 16-man, we had a moment with Cesaro and Jack.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite moment, right?
And as the match progressed, I honestly thought Cesaro was just going to defect. They had an argument near the end of the match, and it looked like he was just going to climb through the ropes and just go over to the other side.
Here's a question that I have about that match. Apparently, two of the multinational alliance members were American born. I know Jericho was. Who would be the other?
Kalisto.
Kalisto.
Yeah, he was born in Chicago, of all places.
And. Hunakara, I thought it was actually from Texas and not Mexico.
Could be.
Maybe that makes three, yeah.
And Kane was sort of born in Spain, but it was on an American base, so I guess they count.
Well, I was gonna make another joke since they pinpointed parts unknown to Wyoming.
Now, is that anywhere near the Wyatt compound, though?
The Wyatt compound to me looks like it's more in rural Mississippi or Arkansas.
Mm. I was going to say South Florida to me, but all right.
Yeah. And that's what you call a segue. And everyone's a little bit racist. No, there are several comments I could make about the New Day visiting the compound that I will not make because I am not going to start a riot.
Nope.
It's there's some really interesting storytelling going without really much talking. Biggie and Kofi are laser locked in on facing the Wyatts, so they said, "Sure, we'll come to your compound."
Yeah. By the way, Biggie, you might want to listen to the rest of the lyrics of that song before you make a quote about it. Mm-hmm. They're not very good implications about that song. Let's just say.
Meanwhile, Xavier is awful quiet. Now, I did have Francesca too with him, but he had a great deal of reservations, and then was further interviewed on. Interviewed by Michael Cole. And I found some of the interview rather cryptic.
Mm-hmm.
Did DJ Jason, did either of you listen to the interview or at least see the snippet that they showed on SmackDown?
No, I saw the whole interview. Saw the whole interview. Because he started with, "Hey, why aren't I thought we were here to talk about up, up, down, down." And that went for a minute, and he was all happy-go-lucky. But then we talked about the Wyatt compound, and then he got all serious. I mean, it is like, I'm just going to make the joke, and then you can get into the serious part of it. I mean, he was looking at them, and he's going, "The fuck?"
Yeah.
You know, it's like, "Are you crazy? I ain't going there. See ya." But then he said he would. But talk about the cryptic stuff.
He said that he made it very clear that since they don't know a whole lot about the compound, and I remember the original video when they had a cameraman follow Harper through an old building. You know, Xavier is justifiably scared. He doesn't know how many people actually live on that compound. He knows how much of an influence Wyatt is, judging from just going by his entrance. You know, Harper might be there. I know he's injured, but that doesn't mean he won't be there. Who else could be there? You know, there could be even more followers.
I like that they did bring up Harper in there because I was hoping they wouldn't just forget about him during all this.
No. But it was the way he said it at the end. He said, "But yeah, my brothers and I will be there." Okay, which ones are your brothers, Mr. Xavier?
Ooh.
Remember, Wyatts are family. New Day, of course, brothers, there's two or three designations for that. But it's the way Xavier said it that set off got a little red flag waving behind me. So I'm really looking forward to this segment next Monday.
Yeah. You know, well, let me ask you something, and I'm going to sort of – I don't know if there's anything left necessarily to talk about here about this because I was going to talk about filming technique and segue it into something we saw on Tuesday or at least online. If that's okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I'm wondering if they're going to be as, if I can say this, batshit crazy as the Hardys were in this absolutely whacked out, fucked up, unbelievably cool thing called the Final Deletion. What was that? Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, I watched it and it was a, you know, what the fuck did I just watch when it came to the final deletion? I didn't watch the contract signing because I was just told how ridiculous that was.
It was ridiculous. But this was good ridiculous.
This is grade A US Prime doofus, and probably what these guys normally do when they're not wrestling. Shooting each other with, huh?
Matt sends out Vanguard 1 to watch his brother all the time.
Drones?
Yeah.
Drones, on sculpting, shooting fireworks at each other, dilapidated boat optional.
Senor Benjamin.
Senor Benjamin. What? What? I don't know what I saw. I don't know what I watched. But what I witnessed was two guys who probably bankrolled all of this to just have a little bit of fun. And maybe pop a rating. Because enough people were going to say, what the fuck was that? They're going to say, what the fuck was what? Here, look.
I think that shows you the influence that Lucha Underground is having to some extent.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Very much so. And that's a good thing. That is actually a very good thing. Now, to kind of tie things together, I was reading around on the message board. People are worried that the New Day visiting the Wyatt compound is going to be just as convoluted, if not more convoluted, than than the final deletion. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking some people who have not been as positive about the final deletion have been saying it was kind of like Birdemic. I'm thinking the Wyatt compound thing will be more like a slightly less violent version of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, comparatively.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot more serious.
When was the last time that WWE aired a long form vignette, almost like a what can you remember that they would have done like this?
Well, like as I referenced earlier, the first time that they sent a camera out to the compound, they did a fairly long segment, but they really try not to do long form segments because nobody wants to sit in an arena and watch a Jumbotron for 10 minutes.
Yeah, the only other one I can think of was the Shane and Kane dinner thing that they did.
Mm. So, but yeah, normally when they do vignettes, they try to break it up over the course of a show. I don't know if they can do that with this particular storyline.
If it is going to be a match kind of thing, I'm thinking they're going to do something similar, but not actually get into the arena like the... You haven't seen this yet, Nikki, because we haven't reached that point in pay-per-view, which we will try to get back to eventually.
Well, once we fix a couple of messes, yeah.
Yeah. The original Boiler Room Brawl between Mankind and Undertaker, that was just all a pre-recorded kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be kind of interesting if they did something like that with the Wyatt family, just a whole pre-recorded match on the screen, leading to whatever have you.
Yeah.
And so, I remember a match, too, in WCW that was like a graveyard match between Vampiro and the Demon.
Mm.
Death of WCW type stuff.
Yeah, that and the hardcore Battle Royal in the junkyard that they did.
Another one I'm thinking of is Terry Funk and somebody who ended up fighting out in a barnyard. He ended up in a barn and somebody almost got kicked in the head by a horse.
And Terry Funk being who he is, he would have probably punched the horse.
Well, I think it tried to kick Terry Funk and Terry Funk yelled at the horse.
Yeah.
So, but enough about Jack Swagger.
Hey!
I'm here all night, folks. Try the veal.
To finish up our mandatory obligations with TNA, TNA realized that if they stayed on Tuesdays, they were going to get their asses handed to them with the live SmackDown on the 19th. So they said, you know what? Thursday's open now. So it's their turn to do Thursday ads.
Yay! Back to Thursday again.
But you want to know something? That's a smart move. It's a really smart move.
They don't have a choice. They really don't have a choice. They had to move.
Yeah, they tried the competing thing once, and we saw what happened then.
Just because they wanted to listen to Hulk Hogan, who may not, you know, knows a lot about self-promotion, but doesn't know a whole lot about business.
Mm.
Or what doing business.
What are you talking about? I still remember Pasta Mania. Mm.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else have I got on this list?
Well, there is somebody that knows how to do business with both WWE and UFC, if we want to segue a little bit.
That's as good a segue as I could get. Mr. Lesnar's been a very busy beast.
Yeah.
After doing shooting his stuff for the 2K17 commercial, he's been training for UFC 200, and just found out, I believe today, was it today he found out?
Yeah, it was today. Yeah.
That he's main eventing the UFC event.
John Bones Jones, you fucking dumbass. Seriously. You fucking dumbass.
So yeah, they're previous headliner was Pop for PEDs. Doesn't that sound familiar?
By the way, I think there's a laughter that needs to be played for this. Serious.
Don't mind if I do. Let me find it. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Good.
So,
you know. Can you imagine if Vince and Dana didn't have their coffee? You know, and didn't talk baseball.
Yeah, seriously, because either that or they would have to strap a rocket to somebody's back who isn't ready to be out there.
Pay attention to me.
Yeah, him.
And I'm serious. Go ahead.
And there's this guy Conor McGregor who said, "I'm in ring shape. If you want me to fight in 2 days, I will." He might. They may have to get him.
Yeah.
So I guess Dana said that Daniel Cormier will fight, though, this weekend. So I guess mystery opponent. Wouldn't it be awesome if it's Randy Orton?
not for UFC, although admittedly he just kind of slipped right into the SummerSlam match.
Ow! I see what you did there.
It's too easy sometimes.
I know. The jokes just write themselves, don't they?
That's what I'm saying. You try to take a guy down who's lathered up in baby oil.
Well, now I've got this wonderful image of him trying to suplex Orton, and he just goes sailing into the crowd. But that was...
And then slides up the steps towards the concession stand.
Yeah. Which reminds me, Jim, once you get better, man, I need you to go through this week's SmackDown and get some of the Dean Ambrose announcements. I'll get back to that. But this was announced. It had been heavily rumored. So, DJ, I know you're an Orton fan. Are you excited for this matchup?
I am. I'm probably not as excited as I would be for maybe a Brock versus AJ or a Brock versus Kevin Owens, just because of the clash in styles. But no pun intended. But I do like the fact that they've never. I don't think, to my knowledge, they've never met before in a WWE ring.
Once.
Was it once? Okay.
There is a picture out there.
It was way back in 2002. Lesnar had only been a couple of months in his first reign, and Randy had just debuted. So
I do find it interesting, the parallels, and I'm sure they'll hype it in the lead up to SummerSlam that Brock Lesnar became the youngest WWE champion with a victory over The Rock at SummerSlam, and Randy Orton himself became the youngest world heavyweight champion with a victory over Bob Holly. just the fact that they were both Jim Ross signees, they both went through OVW. They have a lot of ways that they can hype this. Randy Orton coming back from injury, been off TV for a while. His shoulder, his neck have been bothering him. How will it hold up when he has to make that daunting trip to Suplex City? There's a lot of ways that they can promote this and really make it, I think, in a match that fans will really anticipate.
There's two spots I want to see in the match, though. If they can get them working out. One is a reversal of the F5 into an RKO.
Which everybody's asking for.
God, yes.
And I want to see it, too.
And two, some type of interaction between Orton and Lesnar with the punt. I don't know what, but something.
Now, but Orton breaks his foot trying to kick Lesnar in the head is what's going to happen.
Can we get a redo of last year of Brock and Undertaker hysterically laughing at each other, but with Orton instead?
Yes, I think I could take that too.
But here's the question: I have a two part question actually.
All right.
One, who wins this match, and two, does it depend on what happens with the UFC match with Mark Hunt this coming weekend?
Brock already has an answer for you for that.
Don't fuck yourself.
Oh, thanks. Jesus. I didn't mean to piss him off, but damn. Okay.
Maybe I'll add a third prong to that question, Jason, is would it also depend on the results of the draft? If they're on different brands, if they're on the same brand, does that alter who you would have going over?
Brock's never on enough to be that.
I don't think they can formally draft Brock because he's not regular enough.
He's just a free agent ass kicker.
Yes. Yeah, he's a final boss they bring in when you know people get too uppity, and that's why at some point, yes, I want Lesnar versus Kevin Owens.
And that would be a great promo for Paul. You don't draft Brock Lesnar.
Yes, and I hope I get to hear that. And I hope he shows up next Monday just so he can brag that he's going to take SmackDown back. I could only hope. But to be honest, I'm hoping this match. You're right. There's really no right or wrong over who wins in this case, because Lesnar's the final boss, and Orton losing to him is not going to have him lose any momentum.
Right.
Especially if he's competitive.
Right. And a motivated Orton is a watchable Orton for me. And I don't know how motivated you are when you're facing a guy who can break you six ways to Sunday and not even break a sweat. Especially since Brock has been training, has been doing all his MMA training, and he looks fantastic.
And he recently did an interview on the UFC YouTube with a girl, and yeah, he was looking pretty good there, and he actually caught a couple jokes in his own way, right there.
Which is something you would not expect from Lesnar, or you're not sure if you should laugh or not, because he might, you know.
Yes, that's why they had a female interviewer do it.
Aha. So that interviewer was safe.
Yes.
But yeah, this could go either way. I'm not even sure where, you know, I'm still trying to figure out where everybody's going to land. WWE has a thing on their site where you can do a mock draft where you can pick people to put on Raw and SmackDown, or you can press the random button and see what it comes up with and see if it's any better than what's actually going to happen.
Well, before I do my mock draft, I'm waiting for the WWE Combine I'd like to see how Big Show runs a 40-yard dash in. How the New Day is able to run the shuttle. Oh, they could do some great events. They could do some great vignettes with that.
I would love to see that. I would really love to see that. I don't know if they're going to do that, but I would like to see it. Although that's, you know, we did get some shots from a different combine if you were poking around the network on Wednesday night. As we got a chance, we finally got to see Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan run down the cruiserweight tournament, and they picked out some notables in the group. They mentioned Tajiri and Brian Kendrick's past with WWE. I recognized a few names, didn't you, DJ?
Absolutely, and it's funny how they set up the bracket. I kind of find myself doing like a almost like a on Sunday nights in March when the March Madness NCAA tournament brackets come out, kind of filling out my bracket in pencil. Obviously, it's looking ahead at some of the matchups. Looking at even the first round matchups, like you have Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going to be great.
And Corey Graves wants both of them to lose, apparently.
Forecasting the Final Four, too, is going to be pretty interesting because there are some guys in each portion of the bracket that you think, wow, I thought both of these guys would be in the Final Four, but they're in the same bracket, so one of these guys isn't going to make it. So that'll be pretty interesting to see how things play out.
Yeah, I was just, you know, I find when I got to look, I was looking up and down the brackets, and I'm like, ooh, I know him. Ooh, I know him. I mean, outside of Tajiri and Kendrick, obviously, but because Gargano, I know, has been in NXT for a while, and Tyson Dukes has been wrestled for a while in Ohio.
Yeah, and he goes up against, I think, Zack Sabre Jr. in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap. Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I can run down the whole first round brackets for you if you like.
Please.
Actually, yes. I'll give you room.
Okay. The brackets are as follows. Kenneth Johnson versus Akira Tozawa.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Gallagher, a.k.a. the new vaudevillain, versus Fabian Richner. Okay, I had to make sure that was an R or an A there. Tajiri versus Damian, no relation to Heath Slater.
Mm-hmm.
Alejandro Saez versus Gran Metalik. They didn't put the first name. It's H-Sira. I forget how to pronounce that. Versus Drew Gulak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Drew Gulak has been in Evolve. And I believe Dave Sapolsky has allowed footage on the Cruiserweight Classic to be from Evolve as mm-hmm. well.
We've seen a few different ones there.
So, which is also big.
Yeah. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tyson Dukes. I forget how it was when I actually
Tyson
pronounced.
Dukes.
Dukes, okay. Tyson Dukes actually getting a payday, unlike his TNA days. Noam Dar versus the other Sierra brother. Devari, not the one we know from Muhammad Hassan days, versus Ho-Ho Lun.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the brackets, Raul Mendoza versus the Brian Kendrick, excuse me.
Yes, there were so many jokes about this during bracketology.
Anthony Bennett versus Tony Nese. Kota Ibushi versus Sean Maluta. Cedric Alexander versus Clement Petoit. I guess that's how you pronounce it.
That name wasn't, they didn't mention everybody, so.
All right.
I couldn't tell you. Keep going.
TJ Perkins versus Damac.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa. Mustafa Ali versus Lince Dorado. And Rich Swann versus Jason Lee.
Now, Rich Swann was the one that I had to look up because I thought he reminded me of a guy from IPW. And it's not the same guy. I thought it was the same guy, but it's not.
Right.
I'm sorry.
I just gotta check something. I'm trying to remember which one it was, the guy that did that unique handstand in the corner with no hands. Right there.
Oh, who did that? It wasn't Gallagher. Yeah, and it wasn't Zack Sabre.
I don't know if it was Perkins or if it was somebody else. It was one of the ones that got interviewed. I know that much.
Now, I did not watch the Bracketology special, but did anybody get a chance to see the Facebook Live stuff that they did? They did a weigh-in, and then they did like a parade where they introduced each person into the ring.
I saw the parade one, and they showed some of the weigh-ins on
Bracketology.
Yeah,
and they showed a couple of the things that they showed on Bracketology might have been from the parade, and they also showed when Hunter was gave him a speech at the Performance Center before the festivities really began. So, I am excited. I'm curious.
Has the full tournament been taped or only just a portion?
Only a portion thus far.
The first round has been taped, as far as I know.
Yeah. And I'm not looking up spoilers because I want to just follow along with it.
And I've been Same thankful here. That yeah, I'm thankful I haven't seen any spoilers yet.
And it starts this coming Wednesday, I believe, right?
Yep, right after NXT.
Awesome.
So I'm gonna find go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead first.
I'm going to find a way to hide on Wednesday night and sit and watch this thing.
Yes, but make sure you watch before the Cruiserweight Classic, because that's also the night that we have Finn Balor versus Nakamura on the show.
Wow.
As the internet goes, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the clean way of saying it. I'm sure there's other ways to say it, but I don't even have anything on the soundboard for it.
Yeah, sure you do. You have something that one of the announcers from the Cruiserweight Classic made famous.
Oh, by the way, we have breaking news, DJ, on who Cormier is going to fight on UFC 200. I believe it is Anderson Silva, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
So, yeah, that literally just was announced on Dana White's Twitter feed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yep. 3-round light heavyweight fight.
Okay. And they might actually talk me into watching UFC 200, but I will not be dropping the $60 or whatever it is to Dana. And not by any means necessary. It's called going to a B-dubs. Thank you.
Sure, that's what they all say.
Who are you to doubt me, sir?
Well, your name's not El Dandy, so...
Thank you for getting that reference.
And can we also bring up, and I know this wasn't on the run sheet, but... when you bring up Al Dandy, obviously you have to bring up Bret Hart, and apparently he was interviewed and said that Triple H couldn't lace up his boots, and that he explained the origin of the 4 out of 10.
And this is all over the ranking system in 2K16, which has been supposedly has been debunked.
Yeah.
That Hunter, Brett said that Hunter was a 98 and he was an 85, and he just went off on that. Well, somebody else looked it up. Hunter's a 91 and Brett is a 90. And he's flipping his shit over made up stats for a made up video game about a made up sport. Brett? Insert concussion joke here.
Yeah, Brett, you're complaining, and then we just had that thing with Matt and Jeff Hardy, and you got to look and say, am I really supposed to complain this hard about this thing?
And somebody, I think, brought up on the fan boards, too, that this could be the perfect the perfect impetus for a storyline to start on the main roster with somebody's rating being lower than the other on the WWE video games. Maybe that can be sort of born out of the up, up, down, down show. But
see, if New Day wasn't involved with the Wyatts, that's how I would break up New Day. Were they arguing over each other's stats?
Perfect.
I would pay WrestleMania money for that feud.
Funny thing is that we did have a tease of that a few years ago. This was shortly after Miz's WWE title reign. And they were doing that whole roster reveal thing.
Yeah.
And Miz said, if I am not at least in the 90s, then this game is a failure. And then the programmer saying, Miz is at 89. Miz looked at him and said, okay, 83.
Really?
But, oh, speaking of, you know, you're talking about beating up John Cena, okay?
Who doesn't want to beat up John Cena? Go on.
But I actually want to compliment John Cena. He got, and the WWE promoted this, on July 4th released an awesome, awesome video with the Love Has No Labels campaign. This was nothing short of spectacular. And another breaking away from his wrestling persona.
Yeah. It was a real talk thing, and where he talks about patriotism and love and just, you know, what exact, you know, he said, okay, what do you picture the typical American? And then he runs down some census stats that make you realize that this place still is a great big melting pot.
Yes. This is why I've seen some people on the fan board say that while they hate John Cena the wrestling character, they cannot hate John Cena the real life person.
And they're actually arguing about that.
Well, and perfect segue too, Chris. After the event, there was Monday night. They had a dark match between Enzo, Cass, Cena versus the Club. After the dark match, Cena brought a young fan into the ring who had successfully battled pediatric cancer and bone marrow transplant. Mm-hmm. A young fan had to be under 10 years old, and just basically put him over, wanted him to show him what it was like to be a WWE superstar. I think the child's name was Isaac, and he had everybody in the crowd chanting Isaac, and he was doing the old Hogan spot where you kind of point to one side of the crowd and have them cheer, and then point to the other and kind of pair them against them. So both Cena and Isaac were doing this spot in the ring, and it was really, really cool.
That's awesome.
Very nice. Very nice.
And the video was released by WWE.com. And Cena does this all the time. And that is why Cena will never be a heel. And you want to know something? I'm glad, in a way. There was a point. Because he is one of the few guys out there that's a role model. And by the way, this is going to be the summer of John Cena right now. With this, with the ESPYs coming up, I believe next Wednesday or next Thursday.
Okay.
You know, the Teen Choice Awards. This Cena's almost, you know, he's following the Rock model to a degree.
Well, yeah, because he, you know, Cena's closing in on 40, and he knows his, you know, he knows he can't wrestle forever, much as, you know, much as his ego would want him to.
He was very good in Trainwreck, I can say that.
And so he's going to, you know, but he's also, you know, wrestling is his current career. But after that, he's going to be an actor, a motivational guy, you know, a trainer. He's got all these other things that he can do once he's done.
He's hosted the Today Show.
Actually, I'd like him to replace Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's that's not nice. But no, the video is very real, very genuine, and you can't hate the man. But if you want to hate on somebody, which right now it's very popular to hate on Roman Reigns, to the point that Seth Rollins is still doing it out loud on the microphone.
Jesus. I mean, okay. What is Roman eating? The extra large foot long shit sandwich?
Seriously. they sent him a party sub.
I can't tell if they're just legitimately, you know, just wanting to throw shade at him for basically, you know, being the top dog, the guy, and then all, you know, throwing it all away, or if they're doing this as a means to set him up for a sympathetic return.
Well, I think the one thing we gotta remember is that this is probably the first time that a wellness violation has been published across multiple outlets.
Right.
I mean, it was a footnote on other sites when we had the one big bust over Labor Day some years ago when John Morrison and like six or seven other people got caught. That was a footnote. It was very rare for a wellness violation to make it as far as this one did. Roman sitting at home, not collecting any money, not being able to travel, so the rest of the roster has had to cover for him. Dean, being champion, has had to do a lot more traveling and bouncing around.
Oh, hell yeah.
Which is kind of why he's had such a light schedule this week. Even though he was brave and grabbed the microphone so that he could go out there and show them that he could do that too.
You should listen when I have a headset, when I have a microphone. You should listen. I say important things when I talk. People listen for a reason.
The fact that he was going all house show announcer on us during Rollins' match on SmackDown was brilliant.
Rollins might disagree, but...
Rollins is a tight ass about stuff like that. I mean...
He can't be that tight if he has a stick up there, according to Dean.
And just more beautiful continuity with the fact that, you know, Dean is just screwing with Seth. just keep screwing with him. And, you know, what? I just came in the ring to raise your hand. No, you didn't. I know you, but no, come on. You're not going to do, you know, you weren't going to do that. He says, okay, then I'm just going to raise this. There were so many Deanarchy signs in the crowd at SmackDown. I am very, very, a very, very happy Nikki. Was there a fair share of Dean signs in Columbus? Because I know he got probably the biggest pop of the night.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot of Dean signs, a lot of Ambrose Asylum T-shirts. He did get a big pop. People were trying to do the famous OHIO cheer for him, which didn't quite get off the ground.
No, I didn't, not because I know I didn't hear that.
Definitely just... a hometown-ish crowd, being that Cincinnati is roughly 2 hours down the road.
Right. Well, Jimmy Yang and a couple of the guys that I used to work with at Pro Training ended up going to the show.
I was going to mention that because I actually saw him in the crowd. Would have been either right before. Well, no, it would have been in between Superstars taping and Raw going live. I was, as I texted you, on the hard camera side. So basically, when they do the wide shot of the ring, you can see me basically the whole night. Mm-hmm. So directly opposite me, where the hard camera is on what you've so affectionately dubbed Spit Side. Mm-hmm. Right there up against the boards, I saw Jimmy, because I saw that there was a light on in the camera, so they were interviewing somebody in the crowd, and zoomed in on my camera, and lo and behold, it was Jimmy Wang Yang. So they took him shortly afterwards. They interviewed him, not for the live crowd, but
right.
Probably something for the network, maybe something for the Cruiserweight Classic, who knows, and then they took him backstage shortly thereafter.
Okay, because yeah, a couple.
I do have pictures.
Okay. A couple other people mentioned that, you know, he'd gotten some tickets for people, and they got to go see the show, and they were just happy to be there as fans. Gods, I miss Nationwide.
Great venue for wrestling.
It is. Let's see. I think the only other thing we haven't checked off on my list here is a minor one. Jerry Lawler was easily forgiven, mainly because there apparently wasn't a crime. All charges were dropped.
Right. That, I heard it was either that or they couldn't figure out who really started it, so they couldn't...
Well, it probably turned into a he said, she said, and whoever was going to be overseeing that probably threw the whole mess out and said, go home.
Although I did also hear that they might have to keep them they might have been some legal thing they supposed to keep them separated. We'll see if that actually works out, though.
It depends. How old is she, and is she allowed to live by herself?
Oh, jeez! Oh, come on!
I'm sorry. It was
right
there.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You're right, I'm not. If I didn't make the joke, one of you guys would have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to jump in when you said that this was a minor story, but...
Oh,
Jesus!
Ouch!
I think we should end the show before we get cut off the air permanently.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, since it was such a light week, we really don't have that much else to talk about.
Although I will just say one other quick thing. We were talking about the NWO at the beginning of the show.
Yes, we were.
One of the members, Scott Hall, there's a DVD, a Blu-ray release this week, I believe, called Living on the Razor's Edge. I believe it's called The Scott Hall Story. I think that's the title of it.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. And they had an amazing story about how Razor Ramon gave the Intercontinental belt to two children living with AIDS,
mm-hmm.
1996. And they interviewed them. And it's sort of a Where Do They Now segment. It's really good stuff. Really good stuff.
Very cool.
I saw that mentioned on Facebook. I'll have to look if what the whole story was about it. So
now that you mentioned...
Funny thing about that DVD, I saw when they were doing the commercial for it. I just to get a kick out that the first disc is the Porn Stash Hall era on it.
And since you guys mentioned Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, just a funny... story that I kind of wanted to share. I met Scott back in March for the first time, actually, which for me is rare because a lot of guys I've met multiple times. He was doing an autograph signing in Dayton at the Dayton Mall with Kevin Nash and with Sean Waltman, X-Pac, at a sports memorabilia store as a part of their like grand opening weekend or something at this store. Pete Rose was there as well, which made for some interesting interactions. But anyway. Mm-hmm. I didn't have
they made sure shirt. They made sure Kane was nowhere nearby since Pete
That's
Rose
right.
was there. Okay.
No San Diego chicken suit either. So I did not have my NWO shirt. It was at my parents' house back in Eastern Ohio, so I wore my Bullet Club shirt. You know, Bullet Club, Click, NWO.
Yeah.
Kind of in that same vein. So I'm wearing my Bullet Club shirt. And I walk in, it was like a VIP, I did the VIP option, so you got to go back. And I only did it for Scott Hall, because I've met Nash and Waltman so many times. So anyway, get to the back, and what is Scott Hall wearing but a Super Kick Party shirt? And that's another reason why I wore the Bullet Club shirt, because his son, Cody Hall, is a member of the Bullet Club in New Japan. So we got to talking about Cody, and about the Bullet Club, and about Japan, and suddenly the conversation shifted to the Young Bucks, and he was telling Nash and Waltman and the crowd that was assembled there, he said, it's funny, the Young Bucks think they're the Rockers, but they both think they're Sean. Sorry, Marty Jannetty.
No, Marty screwed Marty.
Yeah. But by the way, get well soon, Cody Hall. You apparently have some kind of neck injury right now.
Ooh. Not fun.
Yeah. Hopefully this yeah, hopefully he can recover from it because he's still a very young guy. So.
Oh, and by the way, just, you know, we were also talking about Lucha Underground. They are airing their 3-part season finale as we speak. They already aired part one. Ultima Lucha Dos Part 1 was aired this week, and they're already, I believe they've already filmed Season 3 already, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
So, good on them.
Yeah, definitely. So, I think we can put a bow on this show. But before we go, DJ, as you know, this is the part of the show where we sell some soap. Do you have anything to promote?
Don't have anything to promote, but would like to say something that you touched on briefly earlier, since I haven't been on in a long time. Just wanted to reach out and express my best wishes for Jim, and I hope for a speedy recovery for him. We're all thinking of you, and hope to hear you behind the mic pretty soon.
We're all pulling for Jim. We're definitely pulling for Jim. Chris, speaking of ailing.
Yeah, my systems have been ailing, and I haven't been able to get in touch with somebody to redo one of the paper reviews where we take a little detour into the world of the past pro wrestling thanks to the WWE Network and watch and learn and cringe at some of the events of some past events, especially the one we have to redo, Nikki.
Yeah. But again, you know, this show is definitely, no matter how much things change, some things stay the same.
Yes. Like Guerrero's being flippy floppy and goofy in their own way.
Oh, of course.
Right. And that's probably the high point, and that's the first match, ladies and gentlemen.
And never have more than one promoter running a show.
Yes.
Never, ever, ever, ever. Anyway.
And apparently lingerie matches were not a new thing in for the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, paper review, Nikki and I and whoever else we can get on at the time, we take a look back and we see what brought us to the lands that we come to today in the pro wrestling scene. We'll get back as soon as we can.
And Jason, you've got the rest of the pile.
Yeah. Right now, the thing is, right now at the moment, I can promote all the stuff that we just recorded. We Love to Interrupt. We recorded a new episode of Touch 'Em All with DJ as guest host. Red State, Blue State is on hiatus, and believe me, we've got a lot to talk about, including the breaking news that's going on right now in Dallas. Oh my God, I don't know if you've heard about this. Some sniper just shot 3 cops dead in Dallas and at a Black Lives Matter protest. 10 cops were shot, and basically this guy was a sniper and just basically shot cops in the back. It's pandemonium in Dallas right now.
Damn.
And it's just a breaking story right now, and it's going nuts. Other shows like Pixel Nation, of course, we talked about Utah, and of course, BS Big Show. Of course, you can hear them on Spectrum One, you know, all the other ways, Google Play Music, iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, all the stuff, Player.fm, whole nine yards. So, there you go.
And I really don't have too much to promote because I'm right here. And I'm going to keep this show going as I always will. And DJ, you know you're always welcome. So just touch base when you've got a free Thursday, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great to jump back on, just like old times.
Glad to have you back.
Like riding a bicycle, a very fucked up bicycle at time, but a bicycle nonetheless.
Indeed.
Nikki, one question though: are we going to keep it on Thursdays after the 19th?
That's a good question. That's something that I will discuss with the higher ups, since Chief High Muckety Muck is not here right now.
Right.
But who knows? We might even be able to move as far up. I would think about moving to Wednesdays.
Yeah. Unless we want to, unless we still have to do our obligated TNA news, you know.
That's okay. We can be a week behind with them.
Yeah. they're already a month in advance in their recording, so why not, you know?
Exactly.
By the way, I found out something funny. There's actually two birthdays here for interesting things that started, but one of them is not related to wrestling. One is the NWO, and apparently the other one is the Spice Girls first started this on this time that 20 years ago.
Scary, isn't it?
Yes, but she wasn't that bad looking.
Hey. All right, that does it. I'm shutting this place down. For DJ, for Chris Waters, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Next week, just tune in.
Proceeding NAWC has been paid for by the New World Order.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.